What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio right here in Matawan, New Jersey. Your host, Sturch Gooch, producer Dina in the house, intern Anthony in the house. We learned a lot about Anthony this morning, by the way. We'll get into that later. Very, very good connects in the world of sports.
Possibly
connects. Possibly. So, we're gonna hope in so. Any event, what's going on? I hope everybody's morning is going well. I hope everybody's happy and healthy and having their coffee, specifically out of your Chop Sports mug. Go to chopsports.shop for that bad boy. But in any event, first and foremost, the way to support Chop Sports is in a monetary way would be patreon.com/chopsports. That's the way to do it. There's three levels. There's a $3 general support level, which basically says, hey, guys, go get them. All right. And it's $3. So, I mean, look, you guys spend like $18 a month on Netflix. I think you could spend $3 a month to see our lovely faces 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock. So you could do that for us. You can also do us a huge favor by doing a subscription to this YouTube channel, which, by the way, we are at 586, something like that. We're at 88. I don't know. We're up and down, but we're a couple away from 600 as we try to reach our goal to 1,000. So if you're watching this video and you're not subscribed yet, please do that for us. It means a lot. Means the world. Helps Chop Sports grow. Very, very good. Anthony, you subscribed? Okay, there's the nod. Okay, I just want to make sure, because if not, we're in trouble. Sauce suicide attempt failed. Still alive despite having... Yeah, all right. Kyle, obviously I faded the Sauce in one way, but of course I parlayed it like a moron and decided to try to take the Rams and the over. And of course, being that the Cardinals stunk so bad, the over did not hit. I guess we can get right into that, because that was what we watched last night. And of course, wild card, super wild card weekend is over. And the Arizona Cardinals were the frauds we all thought they were. I can list them with the Dallas Cowboys as frauds for the year, because you have this magical, wonderful ride of a regular season, and then you start to, you know, kind of fall down a little bit, Gooch.
Did those Cardinals ever get to that 12th win?
No.
Not even in the playoffs?
No.
Right? I think they were the first team, if not the first. They were, I think Green Bay and them might have been 10 wins first in the same weekend, and they failed to reach 12 wins, and that was back in like week 11 or 12. So, yeah, they fell completely flat. They're definitely frauds of the season. If there was one team this year that I would pick out as the biggest disappointment after their hot start, I don't think Cardinals were really touted coming into the year to be anything special. But the way they started off, they were the one seed through the... You remember that graphic I posted the other day?
Which
where
one?
It was like...
You do a lot of graphics.
Well, no, I'm talking about... I never post on Instagram. So I posted to my Instagram story.
The one with the fluctuating things?
And you just saw the Cardinals riding high from like week 1 to 10, and then they fell flat, and they just kept on plummeting.
This game specifically, we'll get into, I guess, both sides of things, because look... Yes, the Rams win. We'll get into the Rams in a second, but this is more like an utter collapse. If you think about it, like the Cardinals had a serious ride of momentum, a wave of momentum, have you, for the entire season. And if I'm not mistaken, they remind me of a lot like the Baltimore Ravens of this year. The Ravens were riding high the entire year too, despite all the injuries the Ravens had. They still won games. They still, you know, got things done, and they were still the one seed. The Cardinals, when the Cardinals played the Packers on Thursday Night Football, that was for the one seed. That was like week 10.
They were undefeated.
Yeah, dude. Or yeah, week 9, week 10, something like that. Yeah, so the Cardinals were riding high, scoring points. You know, Murray was playing good. Hopkins, their running game. Even they lost Chase Edmonds. James Conner picked up the slack. What a great signing that was. But again, last night in the big spot, again, very reminiscent of the Cowboys with the big spot, they fell flat on their face. So now what's next for the Cardinals? I mean, this is a big, big thing. Yeah, Danny coming in. Odell had more passing yards than Kyler Murray. We saw that play, which, by the way, Odell did that, connected with Jarvis Landry last year against the Cowboys. And just, I knew he could throw, but I didn't know he was going to throw multiple times. But in any event, so the Cardinals just fell flat on their face. And what's next? You know, like, Dina, pull that up, because I think it's hilarious how he did this. Gooch, yes, right there in the bottom of your screen, very, very small.
He's very small.
Is so Kyler Murray.
Close, because you will see an NFL quarterback.
It is showing. It is showing that his skill set, while fast and elusive when he's out of the pocket, he can't see over the offensive line, and he can't make the big throw. There was a lot of throws yesterday. Well, there was one where I think AJ and me saw it simultaneously commented in the group chat where, like, Christian Kirk and some one of the other receivers were like, I got it, you take it. You know, at the very last second, nobody stuck out their arms. They could have had a dime, right? But now it turns into a long incompletion. So we do want to encourage you guys to chime in the chat your thoughts. Yesterday, by the way, over 400 comments came in yesterday. And I know misery is a very big topical thing. So everybody was ready for me to come in here and just really call it a quits on life. I almost did, but here I am. You know, no representation today, no Yankees. Everybody was like, oh, he copped out. He wore a Yankees hat because, you know, just so you know, if you guys watch this every day, I switch up my hats a lot. It could be right dead red middle of the football season. I'll wear my Yankees stuff. So, like, miss me with that one.
Does anybody know if J.J. Watt is done after this year?
As far as career?
No. I know that he's going to play football more, but did he sign a one-year deal with Arizona?
He got traded to Arizona. No. He got released. You're right. He got asked for release. I think it was a one-year deal. I don't remember the specifics. We'll get into more free agent talk and draft talk in a little bit with somebody else. But as far as J.J. Watt's concerned, he came out and said this year was a failed season, blah, blah, blah. Like, first of all, you're not even on the field for half the season. So let's pause with the whole everybody's a failure here. You know, like it's not, you know, get on the field and maybe you can make some more contributions.
I know you're a J.J. Watt guy, but I am. Every single thing that guy does or says, I think is for show, for effect. I know he's a good football player, but you know my thoughts on J.J. Watt. Even the warm-ups in the pregame where he's like, I feel like he finds the cameraman, or I'm sure the cameraman just know that
busts his own nose, so he's bleeding.
Yeah, where he just like he's going through his drills and he's hitting the pad. He looks at the camera. He's such a dork to me. I'm glad the Cardinals lost simply because of him.
Honestly. You don't like J.J., huh?
I just don't
he's like
J.J.
Captain America, bro. He's like
don't like J.J.
Watt. I don't know. Well, he made the smart decision to get out of the dumpster fire that was Houston just to go to possibly another dumpster fire in Arizona.
Look, they're not a dumpster fire. Arizona did deal with some things. Like they lost arguably the top three receiver in football over the last 5 years. Out for the remainder
fine,
of the year.
Fine,
that's a big blow.
It is a big blow
with a young quarterback.
Yeah, but it also just remember like these. You know, everybody's ranked on what they can do without their main guys. You know, a lot of people gave a lot of shit to Dak Prescott when he didn't have Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup at times.
Look,
right?
This is football.
Now you take away Hopkins, and this guy is immortal. You know, he's immortal.
And you see the difference between a team like the Rams that are all in on everything, and they lose Robert Woods, and losing a guy like Robert Woods for that team, I think that's a huge deal. But they're in on every single guy, and Odell is obviously paid huge.
Yeah, but wasn't Odell brought on right before the injury? Wasn't that like a weird timing thing where they were about to have all three?
Even still, Woods goes down.
Right. But in any event, the Cardinals, to me, the Kingsbury stuff is kind of interesting as well because it just looked like every time that the camera went over to Kingsbury, he just looked like he had the face of, I'm getting outcoached. You know, like, and McVay is my daddy right now because it didn't look good for Kingsbury. And now you have to wonder, you know, I don't foresee him getting fired. I just foresee him.
He's definitely not on the hot seat.
He's not on the hot seat per se, but he might be on that, like, I don't know if I want to be here anymore type mentality.
I'm not going to get in his head. There's a lot of money says that he's going to be there until there's an actual offer from another legit team or college. I'm not going to put smoke into that arena. I don't think that there's a real. And I know I'm not concerned.
Anyway, if you're a Facebook user, be sure to get over to the YouTube channel so we know who the hell you are. But in any event,
there's a couple things I do want to talk about, though. First being Chandler Jones is the major issue with Arizona. He was unhappy last offseason.
Major issue. The guy led the team in sacks.
I know. I'm talking about going into the offseason. He was unhappy last offseason. I would imagine that Chandler Jones is going to make a little bit of noise. He's going to want a bigger contract, more money down the line. You obviously know when you have the season that he has, he's deserving.
Yeah.
And this is the NFL model now, is that if you have a good year, you renegotiate. And also, I read in the comments that Janine Michaud is saying, I read someone saying that Kyler should have picked baseball.
Could have been a Yankee.
I want to touch on that. Look. Kyler
isn't Russell Wilson a Yankee?
Maybe you could say in terms of how he's going to develop, he might have been a better baseball player. But right now, Kyler Murray wouldn't be on ESPN. He'd be playing in the minor leagues. He would have gotten a decent contract, but he wouldn't be getting the contract that he's going to get when his rookie deal is up. Look,
but I thought it was like a major decision from football to baseball. Like he was that good at baseball too. Like you're saying he's playing in the minors.
He was a first-round pick, but name me a first-round pick that doesn't middle in the minors.
What I'm saying is if he would have rode with baseball, maybe he gets all the money in the world. Maybe he's
Yeah, but he would be waiting. He would be waiting he would be under team control. So before he becomes an actual free agent where he can get paid big time money, he would have been 29, 30 years old. You understand what I'm saying? He's not coming out of high school and getting drafted. He already played in college. So if he gets drafted into baseball, by the time you hit free agency with the current model, and I don't think it's changing anytime soon, you'd be 28 or 29. Right now, he's already a multimillionaire. And when his contract is up, he's going to get a second deal. Whether it be from the Cardinals or not, Kyler Murray's going to get another deal. So I just don't think it makes sense financially for him to have picked baseball, which is why he's playing football. If he was a different position, then maybe, but he's a quarterback.
If we're really calling a spade here, baseball is guaranteed 1,000% of your contract.
I understand.
If you suck at football, and they can cut you and never make another dime.
On the surface, you would say, okay, football is more violent. Baseball is guaranteed money. But there's no guarantee that you make it to the majors in baseball. That's a tough climb. There's a lot of good players. Football, he's he was the number one pick at quarterback. The position, the draft spot, all these things factoring in make him a lot more money in football. He's not a he's not a fourth-round pick. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't have to fight to make the roster. He's clear-cut going to be a five-year rookie.
O-plus coming in. There's not a talent issue. It's a motivation issue. What motivation the Cards needed for a playoff game? Dude, what do you mean the motivation? You should be. It's a playoff game. It's a playoff. There's your motivation. Well, like, how do you lack that as a quarterback?
I think that's what he's saying. He's like, he's clearly talented, but you saw him. You sent me a text yesterday like, oh, it's not Boohoo Baker anymore. It's Boohoo Kyler because he's pouting on the sideline. I said that
in the preview yesterday.
You know, you look over and you try and find your quarterback and you're like, oh, shit, there he is. And he's down there on the ground crying around your ankles.
Hey, get up. Get up.
You got a game to play.
You're making this look stupid.
Come on.
But in any event, yeah, Danny made a good point. My brother came in and said that Oakland actually has the rights to him, just like I believe the Texas or the Yankees might have the rights to a guy like Russell Wilson, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was,
The Rangers.
But that's all bullshit. That's a figurehead. Come to spring training, there's no chance Russ is ever going to play in Major League Baseball.
He was on the Manning Cast yesterday. Did you hear the Manning Cast? Probably not, right?
You already know the answer.
All right. Well, the Manning Cast once again delivered, by the way, because it's the best thing that the NFL has done to their broadcast, broadcast element of the game is the Manning Cast. Now, I'll say this. It's still a little awkward. Eli still has that nervous. He doesn't know what to say at the time, so he just does this. He's like he's just smiling, and that's it, right? He has that nervous, I don't know what to say smile. But yesterday, Hot Mike, Eli Manning was like, hey, Peyton's going to break down this last touchdown. And Peyton Manning, clear as day, goes, I can't hear shit. All over the air. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you, football gods, for giving us Peyton Manning. They had great guests. The Rock was on talking about the XFL yesterday, so that was cool.
I'm so
which
glad
was kind of weird.
So glad I missed this episode.
No, but it's kind of weird, though. I found it a little. I'm not saying the XFL is ever going to be competition for the NFL. Ever, ever, ever. It'll never, right? But, like, the fact that, like, ESPN was like, yeah, bring up the XFL. Talk about that. Talk about your new league. Well, like, what?
I think that
on an NFL broadcast?
Like it's almost like a podcast platform, so they're allowing them to have a little more freedom. And if you really think about it, the XFL, no, is not a competition for the NFL. If anything, the NFL would be smart to help the XFL out and put some money into it because it's essentially like a minor league for them.
It's going to be.
Where they could evaluate the talent. It makes sense.
If the active roster is 53 and the practice squad is, let's just say arbitrarily, 15, that's 68 spots on an NFL team. Multiply it by the amount of teams, right? Let's just say arbitrarily, not doing math in my head, let's just say there's 1,000 players in the NFL. We know that's not right. But I'm saying like that 1,001 player that didn't make it might be the star of the XFL and then will prove his worth to get a contract. So yeah, maybe it is a launching pad. I just found it kind of weird and just brought up by The Rock, or actually it was brought up by the man who's like, talk to us about the XFL. You forget that The Rock played football, right? He did play at Miami, but you forget the guys he played with.
And you also,
he was a teammate of Ray Lewis.
You also realize that when you want to pull The Rock as a guest on anything, you kind of have to pander to him a little bit and let him talk about what he wants because it's The Rock. And
he's got a new movie coming out.
He's one of the biggest stars in the world. So, of course, he's going to get to talk about whatever he chooses to.
He actually
used the
phrase. And if that's his
business venture, then he's going to talk about football on a football show.
What was that? And Danny coming in. They picked him 9th overall during a time of his decision from football to baseball. He would have been a huge sell for the just seeing the baseball jersey sale ticket sales story.
Like going back to Kyler.
Yeah, I guess he's going back to Kyler Murray with that one. But yeah, I mean, look, he probably would have sold some jerseys. There was a lot of hype around Kyler Murray coming out of Oklahoma. But back to The Rock real quick. He did use and drop the line, it didn't work out. Like, Rock, I think it worked out. You know, like, he's talking about his football career, obviously. He's like, you know, it was some injuries and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it just didn't work out for me. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, shucks. You know, like, you're not only the most popular movie star in the world, you're one of the most greatest professional wrestlers ever. Like, it's just, The Rock is literally the blueprint of success. Like, literally blueprint. So it was good to watch him. The Manning cast did a playoff game. I was excited for that. And then they brought on Russell Wilson, which is why I brought it up, because they brought on Russell Wilson. He said, you know, just talked football and the X's and O's of the game. Being that he played both of those teams twice, or at least their team played twice. I know he got hurt throughout the course of the year, but The Rock was putting out a Tarawana or whatever the frick his alcohol is, tequila. It's a tequila company.
Everyone's got a tequila or a vodka now.
You know, it's funny. I went on the heaviest search for Avion when Entourage was prevalent. I was like, where can I find this tequila Avion? I got to find it. Which, by the way, Entourage, if you're not a fan of Entourage,
it's amazing.
Go do yourself a favor.
Also, it sucks.
You're it is awful, not bro. No,
Entourage is good for about two seasons.
If that.
And then it's like, all right, I saw enough. Ari Gold, great. Everyone else,
no, see, stop. There is an element of like, oh, Vinny's going to make it. Oh, Vinny's going to go down. Oh, Vinny's going to make it. Oh, Vinny's going to go down. Right. It's very up and down. But it's like overall, that's one of the greatest shows ever freaking put together. I've ran through the seasons of that for like maybe 7 or 8 times over the entire 8 seasons. So like the other night, I was like, ah, well, I'm bored. What do I want to watch? Vegas, baby, Vegas episode.
Did you watch the movie?
Of course, and I'm one of the only schmucks that like the movie.
I love the movie.
Yeah, I was like, this movie rules. Like, this is great, and you're all the cameos.
You're losing me here.
Shout out to Bob Saget. He was a cameo.
I actually watched about 5 minutes of the movie and almost threw up and had to stop.
Dude, shout out to Kyle though. Like, there's so many people roasting him in the comments. They are the same people in the comments when he wins.
Right now, they're roasting him in the comments.
I mean, that's what happens.
I mean, look, that comes with the territory, Sauce. Yeah. Saucy baby. I know he's got a thick skin. Like,
he doesn't care.
His, right. I'm saying, like, yeah, I'm sure his bankroll is really suffering when the guys are like, yeah, he lost money. Listen, I've lost 10 bets in a row. I said it on Twitter last night. I was like, 10 bets in a row, listening to the Sauce and also listening to Toast and doing my own judgments. Last night, that was my own, you know, screw up by saying I want to parlay the over and the team. I picked the right team, picked the right spread, didn't pick the right number. So that's what happens. But 10 straight bets. So now I'm living on the street. Thanks, Kyle.
Come on, Ken. I'm not Sex in the City. I've never seen one episode. I like shows about gangs and drugs and murder. So like The Wire. Real shows.
Sopranos. Like, honestly, Anthony, I don't even like this. Anthony's a real good paisan over here.
Honestly, Sopranos.
Thumbs wow, you don't even like me. Sopranos.
I do not like The Sopranos.
Can I be bluntly honest with you? I'm the worst Italian in the world. I've never watched The Sopranos through.
I've tried.
I know, it's bad. Honestly, dude, all ask it me was if I've seen The Godfather.
The, you know, the same thing. Never the same thing the that Godfather. Happens in Sopranos. Wow. It's good because people get killed in the beginning. The first two seasons, it's all about the mafia whacking people. And then after that, it's like Tony talking to his therapist. And that's brutal. That's not TV. No one cares about what's happening. What's his name? AJ? KJ, the son.
AJ.
Like, nobody
AJ.
Gives a shit about him. Is he going to get killed? If so, then we care. But if we're just watching for
you're
his, like
you're very much like
to see if he gets suspended from school. No, I do not.
You're
care.
Very much like my bonus mom Barry. Shout out to her. She only watches shows where like if the killing isn't heavy, like early, she's tuned out. She wants the blood, the guts, and the glory.
And really. Kyle, I don't know what your point even is. Mark Wahlberg is a fucking dork.
Oh my so, God, you're out of your mind, moving. Bro.
The 5 a.m. club. The 5 a.m. club. Have you ever watched this guy? Stop it. I'm married. Stop it.
I love Mark Stop Wahlberg,
it.
Dude.
Stop it.
We are so on different pages there, bro. Mark Wahlberg is a god to me. All of his movies, as much as he has the same like character in every single it's movie, like greatest. Just nervous energy, like I love Mark Wahlberg. Oh, it's a sports
Peaky Blinders
show
is a great show. Can we talk more about sports now?
Wow. All right. Hey, listen over here. Jesus Christ. We're going a little bit off the deep end with some Entourage talk. I don't mind it. Actually, you know what? I might start an Entourage podcast. Actually, there is one already. If you want Entourage material, Victory the Podcast on Action Park Media. Very, very good stuff. In any event, let's talk about the Rams, right? Because they won the game, right? And they're moving on. How good can they be? How far can they go? They now have to slay the beast next week when they go toe-to-toe with the champs and Tom Brady and Mr. I don't lose in the playoffs ever, right? Like, this is how do they stack up? And I will say this. The one thing I will pull out of this game in particular, and I said it on Twitter, and I've said it publicly in pre-show, I may or may not hate Odell anymore. Watching him play last night and watching him on the sidelines, I was like, he's in a good mood. He's not being a bitch. Like, yes, they're winning, so maybe check back in a week when he's throwing shit again. But last night, he was likable. He was running crisp routes, bro. High balling every ball that went to him that was a lofter. Like, he went up and got it, bro. Odell Beckham has the talent to be one of the top wideouts in the league. It's just that he's more than likely a bitch, and that's so kind of ruins his stock.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
Well, obviously, you know that I'm kind of coming around on Odell, even though he did burn, whatever you want to call
it. The Packers,
it.
Yes.
He screwed Green Bay over, even though we really didn't go after him as hard as we made it out. But, pause? Was that a pause? Was that pause worthy?
It wasn't a pause.
But either way, look, Odell Beckham yesterday, he showed what he's worth to the Rams, right?
Yeah.
Because Cooper Kupp was largely, I wouldn't say taken out of the game.
What was his line?
I think he had like 60 or 70 receiving yards, if that. I know I lost that in the prop.
Yo, Juan Vargas making a really good point. OBJ, Juan Vargas, is that that's my boy, the Dominican Destroyer.
Yeah.
He's coming and saying, well, Baker Mayfield.
That's what I was alluding to. It's like maybe Baker and, Eli. Did Odell ever play with Daniel Jones? I don't think he did.
No, he was gone before that, I think.
Baker and Eli just weren't, at least the version of Eli that Odell got to play with.
First, this stupid catch was definitely
at the tail end, right? So Eli at the tail end of his career, and then Baker Mayfield being Baker Mayfield. So now you get to see him with a real offense, a real quarterback, and you're starting to see work shine through. Odell, obviously he's talented, but really the Rams are what we're talking about here. Their defense is playing better, obviously. If you look at their season as a whole, they had about a 3 or 4 week stretch where they just couldn't do anything right. They couldn't do anything right. But
Yeah.
Outside of that, they've played really good football for about 3 out of the last 4 months. They had a bad month. And right now they're hot. All they get for Matthew Stafford earning his first playoff victory is a trip to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady in the playoffs. So is it possible that Matthew Stafford could actually go into Tampa Bay after never winning a playoff game in his life and then finally getting one? Now he's going to go on the road to Tampa?
Are we getting fucking Rodgers and Brady again in the NFC title game?
I hope so.
Are we getting that? Because not for nothing. You talk about a journey. And I was thinking about this for the Cowboys before, obviously, they shit the bed. But I was like, if they can go out and beat the Niners, right, and then beat Brady and then beat Rodgers and then beat Mahomes in the Super Bowl, you couldn't tell me nothing for the rest of your life, like, with that team, right? So I'm thinking now it's Stafford's turn to kind of do that. He beat Murray, and that's fine. Murray's not that great. But if Stafford beat Murray, whatever. But if Stafford could beat Tom Brady, and then for whatever reason, go in to Lambeau and beat up on Roger. Well, I'm not saying they're one-on-one, but and then go to the Super. You talk about Stafford on a complete 180 of his career. Everybody will forget about everything wrong he's ever done.
Well, I think that Matthew Stafford was largely given a pass for his failures.
Because Detroit stunk.
Yeah. And you look at the Detroit Lions for the last 20 years, and you could name star after star after star that they wasted their talent. Matthew Stafford was the one lucky one that he actually got the front office to let him out. And you heard Calvin Johnson talking about it, but Matthew Stafford publicly, he's always gotten the pass. You hear the players around the league talking about Matthew Stafford is the one guy that a lot of the quarterbacks allude to as being like the one guy no one talks about when we're talking about the top five. He finally
just look at the yards, though. I mean, the guy's compiled a lot.
And honestly, like, Matthew Stafford dealt with a lot of injuries this year that they kept under wraps, and maybe you're starting to see a healthy version of him come out now, which it's very rare that a guy gets healthy week 18, week 19 of the NFL season.
Right.
But the Rams are a tough team. The NFL playoffs right now, dare I say, they're the final eight is the best eight teams in football. It's rare that that happens. Maybe you could make the case that the
49ers... No. Shout out to the NFL. It all went to chalk. Every home team won. Except the Cowboys. Of course. Every home team won except the Cowboys. Let that go through your head, Cowboys fans. And let that go through my head as I like re-cry and re-discover the anger and the upset and the depression that comes with it. Every home team won except the Cowboys. My God. Kerm's coming in. If Matt Stafford is able to win the next two games, the world will completely forget.
He's just quoting you.
Oh, he's quoting why?
Dope because he's saying it's search. A dope take.
Oh, okay. Is it or is he mocking me?
No, it is. No, him and AJ just gave it a agreeing head nod to each other.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Derek, yeah. I almost went dark with that joke. AJ,
in any event. In any event. Danny coming in 0-12 with the Lions, 1-0 with the Rams. Playoff appearances. 0-12?
No,
that can't
the
be
Lions
right,
Danny. Have not made
Danny,
12
there's no way they had 12 playoff wins. They lost to Dallas.
I think I know what he's getting at. Just they have never won a playoff game in his 12 years with Detroit.
Oh, 0-4-12. Yes. All right, so that makes sense, yes. He has now played 12 playoff games. In fact, the one he came closest to winning was against the Cowboys in 2014, where all the controversy with the interference call and yada yada, and then Dez caught it the next week. But then in any event, Stafford has himself a chance. We'll talk more about that game as we get closer, because tomorrow we'll dive into the NFC, Thursday, AFC. We'll dive into these games knee deep. And then, of course, on Friday, we'll make our picks. Kyle, more than welcome. Come on back and make your lean Friday picks. But there wasn't just that to talk about as far as football is concerned. Yes, playoff game, big time. Unfortunately for Dina and the Raiders, they have fired Mike Mayock. Their GM has gotten the boot after just 3 years of service. Technically, I guess this was going into his third year. I did write some stuff down about Mayock, about his resume with the Raiders. Now, I know that you said it, that what you saw was that Raider Nation was split.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, why'd they do this? Or thank God they did this.
And there wasn't even really a lot of the thank God. There was definitely some Raider fans that were very happy that Mayock was gone. There was some guys that were on the fence about it, where they were saying, like, I understand it. It was the right move because we just needed to turn the page on this season and everything that it was. But then you had some people saying that John Gruden stripped Mayock of all his ability to draft properly. And if you look at the Mayock draft that Gruden wasn't around for, didn't have much say in, he actually did well. That was his first one. Mm-hmm. He's had three draft classes.
Well,
am I wrong?
Yes. So, they didn't have a first round pick last year. So correct. That's why there was nothing there. But let me, now that you said the draft, I want to throw that into the conversation of what this guy has been able to do. So you're saying in 2019, he had full say? Because I have three draft picks that they made. Two of them I say hit, but they're later. So the first round pick, everybody threw everybody for a loop. Fourth overall, Cleveland Farrell.
But he's a good player.
He's a good player, but he's not fourth overall.
He's not
pick,
fourth overall.
Right.
Yeah.
But then later on, he lands guys like Jonathan Abrams and Josh Jacobs. They're good, right? Good job, Mike Mayock. The following year, if what you're saying is true, they drafted Henry Ruggs.
Well, that's
fourth overall.
And if honestly,
I'm sorry, 12th overall.
I wasn't in the room. I wasn't in the room.
What did you say?
Pick.
I said they didn't know Ruggs was going to kill somebody.
No, but
but you got to do your research.
But besides that,
you got to do your research. If he's a piece of shit, you got to know.
Count the receivers in that draft that were good. A lot. Henry Ruggs was one of them, but he wasn't the best receiver, and he shouldn't have gone first out of the wide receivers in that class.
Are you sure that was first? Because he went 12th overall.
12th overall.
So 11 picks without a receiver?
What receiver was CeeDee?
CeeDee was 17.
But what receiver did he get picked at?
I believe he was after Rager. No. He would have been second.
Yeah, so
I think.
Either way, I know that Henry Ruggs was picked way too high. But that has the look of a John Gruden pick all over it. That fast receiver, and even just a Raiders pick in general. You don't know that. Maybe that was coming from the brass. But you know a guy like John Gruden coming in, he's going to have a lot more say than a typical head coach. It was a very surprising thing. They gave him $10 million a year for 10 years to just head coach. No, obviously he had say and influence on the draft.
So Ruggs, obviously not the hit, right? The free agency is where I also think, look, you and I, as far as Packer fan, Cowboy fan, we never make these big splashes in free agency. That's just not the MO of the general manager and or team, right? The Raiders tried. The Raiders, Ruggs, Judy, then Lamb. Lamb was third, actually. So Jerry Judy, who might turn out to be a decent player, I think. He's, again, one-trick pony. A lot of these guys are fast burners, but they can't run a route.
I feel like it's the opposite. What Jerry Judy is, he's not that much of a burner, but he's very crisp in his routes, and he's going to be a good slot guy.
Okay, fine. Fair.
Crosby.
Crosby in the fourth round of the Jacobs. Yeah, that's another one. That's four. Four for four. I would say he went 3 for 4 out of those four picks. Farrell is a good player, but
it's a very good draft.
Very good draft. So everybody had this high hopes, right, that Mayock was the guy. And now he might wind up back on the NFL Network analyzing and doing mock drafts. Who knows? But
Hunter Renfro in that draft as well.
Okay. See, all right. So that draft he absolutely murdered. He murdered that
so
draft.
So Mayock is possibly going to get a job in the NFL?
The Giants are looking for a GM.
No, the Giants ain't. It's not the. That's not the right fit.
Why?
No way.
Why?
Because the Giants. Could you really see Mara bringing in a guy that was working on NFL Network as like a draft analysis?
I don't know.
Analyst.
Yeah, I don't know. But in any event, let me go to those free agents. There's three that stood out to me. Marcus Mariota was one of his big splashes, which is obviously he had his own sub packages. Behind Derek Carr.
I think that was a good
decent move. I like it. Trent Brown.
That also
Trent Brown was the right tackle.
Mariota also reeks of John Gruden, too. So maybe he gets some credit there.
Trent Brown was a 4-year, $66 million deal. So that's a lot of money to give to Trent Brown. But the biggest bust of them all, and I wrote this down, was Tyrell Williams. You signed him as your big wide receiver one. Yeah, he got banged up and shit, but that's just a bad look. So now I ask you.
I don't think they signed him to be a wide receiver one.
Who was the wide receivers at the time?
They just signed him to be, like, if you look at the contract doesn't yell wide receiver one. It's like they might have brought him in as the two and hoping that Ruggs would develop into a one. Maybe that was the plan.
So, in any event.
My prediction is that Mayock will
at least
be on TV. He's not going to be out of a job.
No, he's definitely going to.
Look at the hacks that are calling the NFL draft right now. I'm sure we could use a little Mike Mayock back in the mix because they're all hacks anyway.
I mean, they're getting worse as time goes on. These draft analysis or analysts, like you just, why can't any of us say that word? We do want to invite publicly, I'll say this right now, Chris Shrieks, my boy Shriek League, does a mock draft every year, and he does about 18 versions of him, and he already started tagging us in on our social media. So at Chop Sports Media, we retweet all his stuff. Shriek is going to be the Mel Kiper. Todd. He's going to be that guy. I can't wait. It's going to be excellent. And then, he also, that's another one.
Wow, I can't believe we didn't even touch
Paul Hannon, good move, bro. He's the one that tried to go get Antonio Brown and got him. And then the foot thing and then the iceberg and whatever the hell else happened with this guy with the frostbite. Like, that's another, red flag move. Mayock, or maybe that was a Gruden thing. I don't know. But Gruden's gone. He'll never work in the league again either. Gruden needs to get back on TV, by the way. Oh, God. That'll never happen, but I think it'd be great. Knock on wood if you're with me. In any event, we have to move on from football because there's going to be a lot more football to dive into tomorrow and going forward in the weekend, and Gooch is going to start sweating a little bit.
It's almost like our listeners know what we're about to talk about.
What?
Just like transitioned right in.
Did somebody say something about what we're about to talk about? Who? I don't see
just
it.
Just keep it going.
Ah, yes, there it is, Kyle. All right, so as much as we love, or me and Dina and Kyle and AJ and Scoop, all of us are Knicks fans, much like I said to the world yesterday about the Cowboys, right? When I was like, you're a scummer if you root against, other people's teams, like, to their faces. I've hated the Nets since they denied me the PA job over there once upon a time. So I've hated them for that reason. But boy, oh boy, are the Brooklyn Nets in a little bit of trouble right now. Because as of yesterday, there was multiple reports. Everybody's kind of already knows about the Kyrie situation, which, by the way, Gooch brought up an amazing, amazing point in pre when we were talking about what is able to happen with the Nets opponents. I didn't know. It just blew my mind. Basically, what you said was Kyrie can't play the home games, but the visiting team, if you're not vaccinated, can play in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Figure that one out, ladies and gentlemen. Figure that one out. But in any event, so the drama in Brooklyn starts with the Kyrie stuff that we already knew, right? Halftime, part-time player. Then KD gets hurt. He's being ruled out for 6 weeks, apparently, right? Or at least, we don't really know the length per se, but I'm looking at, if you play 2 games a week, 3 games a week, you might miss anywhere close to 20 games. 20 games, man. That's a lot, especially when there's only like 42 left or 40 left. So that's half the rest of the season. And right now, the Nets stand one half a game out of the one seed, and they're only 5.5 up over the 10 seed and right now.
Did you mention Durant?
I mentioned Durant injury. I did not mention the stuff that you read yesterday.
So are we going to talk about... I know that there's maybe a little bit of Wolf tickets, and I have no
idea.
We'll
see, but...
I have no idea, though, why a guy in the position that he's in, James Harden, I'm talking about here, when asked, or I don't even know if he was asked, it was reported by Mark Stein, but someone somewhere said that James Harden is open to exploring other options in this offseason.
Before we dive into that, why is that context right now? Why is anybody asking him right now future plans?
Look, anybody's allowed to ask whatever they want.
Sure.
How you answer that question is another story altogether.
That's what I'm saying.
Considering the point that you're at in the season, where it's about midway point, like you were saying, you got a lot of basketball to play. You don't know what's going on with Kyrie. You got the Durant thing. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's exactly why he had it out. And I very, very much doubt that it wasn't either planted by the Harden camp where they're saying, you know, maybe we should put out this story, call Mark and let him know that, you know, we're open to exploring options just to see what kind of bites they get. But I don't think that the big three is going to work out. I didn't think it would work out when they signed them.
We said it as soon as it all developed. We said, how long is this going to last? One guy will be complaining about something
before you knew it. Now, fast forward to NBA playoffs this year. Right, I'm talking like this now because it's easy to talk like this.
Remember, they're right now the Nets sit at the three.
While there's all the drama going on, fast forward to the NBA playoffs. There is a very, very good chance that Harden is there, still playing, because he's the one that's actually playing. Right, there's a very good chance that KD is back, fully healthy, and there's also a very good chance that Kyrie comes around and they have their full big three back for the playoffs. So really, that's all that matters, and we might just be talking a lot of bullshit for no reason right now. All that said, why is there so much drama surrounding this team? Why would James Harden come out and say, you know, I'm open to leaving? Like, why would you want to leave that team? He's got a $50 million player option for next year. He would be nuts, you would think. But if he does hit free agency or he's in his final year of his contract, you know the extension that he's going to get is going to be worth like $50 million a year, but he's going to get 5 years or 4 years. So I guess it makes sense. But
you know what's kind of crazy, though? Now that you brought that up with the whole like playoffs, you know, they'll all be good to go. This might push the Nets with this injury of KD, and maybe they don't bounce back. Maybe this pushes the Nets to the five, and they no longer have any kind of home court advantage. And then they have the away court advantage with Kyrie Irving if he doesn't, quote, come around.
Yeah, I don't think that the Nets have even a remote chance if Kyrie isn't back full time. Yeah. They just don't have the firepower. I know that they have depth to a degree, but that depth gets depleted when you are missing your stars. You know, the depth is there, but not if they have to be used as starters. So, no, they have no depth with no Kyrie and no KD.
So we're talking to you, New York Knicks. Now's your time to shine, boys, because you know what? The Nets are going to be in a little disarray for the next couple of weeks, so now's your time to shine. It doesn't start on Martin Luther King Day yesterday with lost by 10.
I know that the Bulls are playing well this season.
They're the one seed right now.
They're kind of had a bad week, maybe, because I saw DeMar DeRozan bent in half yesterday on the court. I don't know if that was an actual injury, but it looked like it could have been serious.
Maybe
Does anybody have any news on that?
Maybe I don't pay attention enough to the rest of the NBA outside the Knicks, which I try to, but, you know, we're knee-deep in the NFL playoffs. I'm not going to go crazy until I have to. But, like, are the Cavs good now?
Yes.
What the frig happened there?
They got bigs that defend the basket, and they have guards that are good. That's it. That's what happens. Jesus Christ, good young talent.
But I'm just saying, like, when that imploded and LeBron left town and all this other shit, I was like, Cleveland's going to be in the gutter forever. All of a sudden, they're in a two seed, and I'm like, what did I miss?
Oh, yeah, Hawaii Mike's making a decent point.
What's up?
That the new mayor will be in office by the playoff time, and he could possibly drop that mandate that's restricting Kyrie from being able to play home games. So that's the most.
There's a new mayor coming to New York?
Are you alive?
I'm alive. I thought election day was in November. Oh man, am I going to make myself feel real dumb right now?
Yeah, move on.
Okay,
there is a new mayor. There is a new mayor in New York soon.
Okay, good luck, mayor. The only mayor I ever cared about was the mayor from Ghostbusters, Lenny. Lenny, my mayor. Oh, man.
Oh, he's already in office, Dave. So, yeah, that was like last week, I think. So
maybe
I
guess Dave I don't should know listen to either. Our podcast. I edit your podcast, Cousin Vinny, okay? I don't really like if it's good, I'll listen. And of course, I'll listen when I can. But like, come on, man, I'm a busy dude. You got fucking 13 podcasts on the goddamn network that I'm editing all of them, except for Jimmy Palumbo, which, by the way, is probably enough edits for 13 worth of podcasts, to be honest with you. By the way, new episode of Jimmy Palumbo Show now available, episode 45. And nobody chooses Gary Cole. Everybody, he chooses Chili Davis. And who was it, Cecil Fielder?
Cecil Fielder, bro.
That's my man, the big cat. Prince Fielder, another another career cut short. Loved Prince Fielder. Speaking of baseball, it's actually a good little segue. How about that? I didn't even mean to do that. That was unintentional. So you told me yesterday, before I even left, you're like, look, we got to talk about this because it's big, right? And I'm like, all right, how big is it, right?
It's not like huge. It's as big as Major League Baseball said. Draft because the talent at the top is a – you know, these guys slot right into the first top five picks, the two guys that I put
now. Now, my question is this, right? Oh, here we go. Someone say baseball? Toast is all over this. Now, my question is this. There is a Major League Baseball draft happens every year. It's like 77 rounds, which is like, to me, is just like, and they televise this shit now, which is like, no way would I sit around for the draft of Major League Baseball. I feel like it's way too long. The NFL draft is a spectacle, not the MLB draft. But in any event, there's a draft in baseball, right? So these international players, are they not allowed to enter the draft or do they choose not to enter the draft? Why is this a thing? And I learned yesterday because you taught me a little bit, you kind of caught me up to speed with this international pool money where everybody gets one amount, but then like in trades, you can give them like, hey, the Yankees acquired this guy for $200 in international pool money, which obviously $200 is nothing, but yeah. I'm saying like arbitrarily. Like that's, you kind of caught me up with this, but why aren't these guys in the MLB draft?
Because they're not considered, I guess, amateurs in this country. They do the Major League Baseball draft is high school and college players, and there's a process that's been going on for a really long time. The way that they've been changing the international thing for a while now, they were doing it anonymous bids where you had to close a bid, and now they're actually allowed to exclusively negotiate with the player. Mm-hmm. But what they do now is each team has a set amount of money that they're allowed to use, but that is able to be traded in trade. So when you see the Yankees signing or making these trades and dumping off players, and then you look at like, oh, cash. That cash a lot of times is the international signing money, and it allows them to go after bigger prospects in this pool.
Like they drafted or like they signed yesterday.
What the Yankees did in this one is reminiscent of what they did when they got Jason Dominguez, where I think they had around $5 or $6 million in international pool money, and they pretty much threw all of that at one guy. Whereas you see a lot of times a team like the Marlins, they can't afford to go after the guys like
that. So they dropped that much money on a prospect who's never seen America?
Yeah, a 17-year-old kid, a switch hitting shortstop, solid glove. He's 6'1", 180. He's the right size for a 17-year-old. He's going to develop a little bit, obviously. We never know. And especially with the Yankees having, I think, four of their top 10 prospects now, because this guy slides in at least seven, but possibly five. And I'm talking about the guy that's on the screen. It's Rodrick Arias, shortstop.
Shortstop was absolutely a need
and
that we'll address when
he's ready. It's arguable that he would have been a top five pick in the draft if he was able to be drafted last year. The guy that to his right, but our left, if you're looking at the screen, that's Christian Vaccaro, yet another beast that the Washington Nationals signed. So
you said he was like Juan Soto, a Jace.
I don't know if he's exactly that good because, you know, that's a tall order. He's got
Juan Soto still that's like big 20 cleats years to fill. Huh?
Like yeah, but if you look at their practicing the other day or last week when they're negotiating, when you have Juan Soto, you have Victor Robles, and then you got this kid, and it's like you're looking at the three, and honestly, the oldest one is like 21 years old.
That's crazy, bro.
So the Nationals have a knack for getting these young outfielders, and honestly, for something to be said for a Cuban kid that comes over, he's 16 years old. Like, obviously, he's a little more traveled than we are because knowing how the situation is out of Cuba, you can't just leave
get up and go play. Right.
You know, there's a lot that goes into it. But really, I'm just dying for baseball to get back, even though I know football playoffs are here. But just the non-news with the lockout and things like that, like, we know nothing, but this is
and that's where I was at yesterday.
Gives us something to be excited about.
I think Danny came in yesterday in the chat and said, like, yo, pitchers and catchers, it's baseball season now when the Cowboys lost. But I'm like, is it? Because there's a lockout and there's no movement at all.
I'm going to answer Scoop's question right here. He's saying, what does this do for Volpe? Honestly, it does nothing for Volpe. Volpe is the guy, he's next in line. This kid's 17 years old. It might be 6 years before he even... I have no idea. I'm not exactly sure. But Volpe's the number one Yankees prospect, and he's the same position. So, but also, when you look at a lot of these guys coming up, Albert Pujols came up as a shortstop. You know, you can look through the Major League Baseball ranks, and you'll see tons of outfielders, center fielders, second baseman, third baseman. They all come up as shortstop because, at the time, usually your best player plays shortstop. As you get to the majors, maybe your shortstop doesn't, you know, meet the Major League Baseball level's expectations, so you shift to second. But the best athletes on the team are typically playing shortstop. So I'll take a bunch of shortstops because a shortstop could play right field, he could play center field, he could play anywhere on the field.
The hosts of the cross-court cast are contradicting people. Vinny came in and said Volpe's 23. Scoop came in and said Volpe is 20. And then Scoop came in and said Volpe is 20 again.
He is 20.
He's 20 years old, according to our producer, who just looked it up. So I appreciate the effort there, boys. But baseball is technically around the corner. I think the one thing that they're really disagreeing on, Gooch, still is the free agency eligibility. Is that what, like, that's the one topic that the baseball, like, they
it's
just can't get?
It's not the one, but it's a major. That's the major, it's a major one. Issue here because you get, it's lending to the point that I was making about Kyler Murray. It's the reason why Kyler Murray had, it was a no-brainer for him to choose football, even though it's the more violent sport, even though there's no guaranteed money. Because in baseball, you get put into the system for a team, and they control you. They're allowed to manipulate bringing you up. If a team isn't good, they're not going to bring you up to earn rookie status because then they have to pay you
like a rookie. Yeah,
you know, you become a free agent sooner. So if you're just on a middling franchise or a bad one at that, then you're stuck in. Not to say Oakland's bad. Oakland's traditionally decent at bringing guys along, but they don't pay their players. They become free agents, so they're one of the teams that will manipulate a guy's contract for a really long time so they don't lose him to free agency, because that's typically what happens to Oakland A's, as we will hopefully see when we sign Matt Olson.
Rube came in and says shortstops can play everywhere on the field besides the Yankees' current shortstop.
He's not wrong.
It's not wrong at all. You know what sucks? Like, Glaber was such a high-hyped, ready-to-rock-and-roll guy, and it's just like he's got the moxie, he's got the swag for New York, and it's just not playing out, and it's really upsetting.
Here's my point. Honestly, Glaber probably can play anywhere on the field except shortstop, and that's actually making my point for me. It's the point is, like, Glaber was a great shortstop his whole life. He comes to Major League Baseball, and all of a sudden, he's kicking the ball all over the field. You put him at second base, and it takes a lot of pressure off him, and he's suddenly a good fielder again.
It's like Liz playing for our softball team.
Thank you, Rube, for loosely making that point for me.
Yeah, Rube, but you made the point, yes.
Service time manipulation is a huge issue. 100%.
So that's all right. So that's where we're at with baseball, because I think, is that why Jeter didn't move to second or third for A-Rod? Maybe.
We don't have to look. I know right here what we're getting into is dangerous territory when we start talking about the Yankees, because Ken Paulman is low key the biggest Yankee fan in the history of the world, but he refuses to admit it. And he's going to go nuts with me saying this right now, but he will not, like, we live rent free in his head. Sorry, Ken, but it's true.
I'm waiting for it.
Rent free. Wait a minute. So are you making a Yankee point, or you're dismissing it?
No, I'm making a point that he's like, he hates the Yankees.
He hates the Yankees?
He hates the Yankees. He's a big Mets fan. But when I say, like, 99% of his posts in baseball season will not be about the Mets, it'll be about the Yankees.
See, that's what I'm talking like about. That's the kind of cynical, weird shit that I don't understand. Like, I personally wouldn't bash the Mets. My father's a Mets fan. It makes it fun.
And honestly, look, you don't bash the Mets. I completely understand why the Mets fans look at the Yankees the way they do. Yankee fans suck, bro. You know, they really
do. That's not true. I don't suck.
Mets fans suck. Cowboys fans suck.
Oh, you know, now I mean, you're just like, pushing buttons.
Mostly fan bases mostly suck, right? Especially when you're a bitter Mets fan. And I'm not saying Ken is a bitter Mets fan, but the Mets fan base in general has reason to not like the Yankees. We beat them in a World Series. We've won a lot. They've not
22 years ago.
Understandable.
Mets
fan, but
without saying Ken's a bitter Mets fan.
Mets look good, very good on paper. No shit, they look good on paper last year too.
Look, honestly,
see, that's me talking shit about the Mets. But
look, honestly,
I try not to do
honestly,
it.
Honestly, all joking aside, the Mets had a great offseason.
They did.
The Mets lineup is legit.
But I'm not one of those guys like, the Mets won the offseason.
And it's really,
like,
you know,
they did well.
I would say that the biggest X factor for the Mets this year, obviously, and it goes without saying, is DeGrom's health. Is DeGrom ready? If he's not ready, then their pitching staff isn't much better, if at all better, than it was last year. I know Stroman was kind of
Is he still there?
No. He's gone. Good. But the point that I'm making is Buck Showalter, I think, is going to work wonders for that staff and that team in general. Because you could
Do you know, up until you just said his name, I almost forgot that they even
Buck. I've made this point before, but people say like Buck might be too old school. No.
I think it's perfect.
Bro, Manny Machado is probably the laziest player in Major League Baseball, and Manny Machado and Buck Showalter worked out well together. Baltimore was a really good team when they had Buck Showalter in that one season. I know it fell off a little bit, but he has the ability to make teams better just by being in the dugout, and that's rare in baseball because I think baseball managing is the most overrated in sports, personally.
That's why we have now. Aaron Boone.
That's why we got Aaron Boone.
Oh, wait, we can't make fun of Aaron Boone anymore. Because we got a like from Brett Boone, the actual Brett Boone. I might
do it to Brett Boone if we get him on. I'll be like, yo, why does your brother talk like this? Did he get it from Tim Kirkjian?
Ow. I think I just threw my back out. Oh, what happens on live television?
I'm surprised Ken kind of like fell out after he
LOL. He probably got so mad, broke his phone and left.
He did LOL.
I know, I saw it too. But in any event.
The obligatory LOL. Yeah. Just know that we're not mad at each other.
Ken Paulman sliding into DMs every day. Oh, well, no, that's not him. All
right, I'm probably getting it right now. I honestly, this
oh, here come.
Conversation here we go. Is going to get him, if he's on Facebook, he's going to get banned.
So now he's good at it. It's good that he's on YouTube. He comes in and says, because Yankee fans are arrogant asses, and oh, forget it, not getting into it. George got rid of players I loved as a little kid, 6 years old, for no reason, scorned, worse. Who did the Yankees get rid of when he was six?
I don't know.
Reggie? Think. I don't know. How old is Ken Paulman? I don't want to put an age on him. I don't know him. Like
maybe
personally.
Dave Winfield?
I think it was a Reggie thing. When Reggie went to the Angels and then almost killed the Queen of England. Movie reference.
I sound like Mahomes. Well, I guess Mahomes and Kermit the Frog and Garrett Cole all sound alike. And Aaron Boone.
With a little bit of Shaggy.
Good one, Scoob. All right. In any event, that is the show today, folks. We had a great time talking about how little Kyler Murray is. And, you know, he falls short. That's a pun. That is word. Play 101. The Cardinals fall short. The Rams move on. We'll dive more into the playoffs as the week goes on. It'll be a great conversation to be had. We have literally eight more teams left in the NFL, right? Eight? Yes. Eight more teams left in the NFL right now. It's the who's who. It is literally top four seeds in AFC and the top... top three and then a six. God damn it. How is this possible? And you know, it's funny because I went on Twitter yesterday. And I took to Twitter and I said I was going to take a couple days off when it comes to talking Cowboys. And then, of course, RJ Ochoa, the producer of Blogging the Boys, sends me this graphic. Like, here are the impending free agents. And I'm like, mother! I'm like, I can't leave that alone. I'm going to have to go attack this right now. So that's what I did. So follow me on Twitter, at Dave Sturgeon, if you want. But the bigger thing right now, while you're watching this video right now, hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, do that for us. That means the world to us. And it definitely helps us out within the search and succeeding as Chop Sports. So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, the intern Anthony, who is sitting in with us, and of course, the pick bish herself, Dina Simpson, the producer of the show. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. Again, be sure to check us out, chopsportsmedia.com. Follow us on all the social medias, at Chop Sports Media. And of course, one more time, hit that like right now as you close. Before you hit the X button, hit the like button. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
I could guarantee you that if I open up my DM right now and the message from Ken, it'll be typing. You know how you could see when someone's typing?
Yeah, with the
typing?
Bubbles?
He's definitely I don't have anything right now. So